St. Peter and Paul Jesuit Church is the oldest church building in continuous use remaining in the city of Detroit. The Diocese of Detroit was founded in 1833, even before Michigan officially became a state in 1837. St. Peter and Paul was Detroit's second cathedral for nearly 30 years. The cornerstone was laid in 1844. About that time, there were 18 priests, 30 churches, and some 24,000 Catholics in the Detroit Diocese, which then covered the entire state of Michigan. There were only three Catholic churches within what were then Detroit city limits. Bishop Peter Paul Lefebvre was a French-speaking Belgian who came to Detroit in 1841. He had the church built and named for his patron saints. On June 29, 1848, the feast day of Saints Peter and Paul, he transferred his cathedral from the French parish of St. Anne to the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul. By 1877, the population of Detroit grew to 115,000. Bishop Caspar Henry Borges succeeded Bishop Lefebvre in 1870 and worked to establish a school of higher education in Detroit by inviting the Society of Jesus to return to the area and establish a Catholic institution. To entice the Jesuits, the bishop offered to give them his cathedral parish. The cathedral function was transferred to St. Aloysius, and the old cathedral was renamed St. Peter and Paul Jesuit Church. It was last used as a cathedral on September 14, 1877. Bishop Magee was the first president of Detroit College and the rector of St. Peter and Paul. For about 25 years, the president of the college was also the church rector. Our first Jesuit pastor was Father James Walsh. Our second pastor, Father Frieden, started the first St. Vincent de Paul Conference in the Detroit Diocese in 1886. St. Peter and Paul was the focal point of Jesuit activities in Detroit. Retreats, lectures, religious devotions, the University of Detroit's activities, and that of the University of Detroit High School were based here. The church is the site of the Red Mass for the legal profession in the United States since 1877, a tradition that continues here to this day. By the late 1930s, the Archdiocese had more than 800 priests, 345 parishes, serving 602,000 Catholics. The population of Detroit was about 1.5 million. Our parishioners for the first 70 years or so were 95% Irish immigrants, with the remainder French Canadian. Many of these were prominent Detroit families who lived along Jefferson and for whom Detroit streets were later named, such as Van Dyke, Bouffay, Moran, and Willis. The area was heavily residential until the turn of the 20th century. In the 1890s until the early 1900s, the neighborhood was made up of Italian, Lebanese, and African Americans. In fact, by 1920, the neighborhood was known as Little Sicily. Immigrants from Sicily and southern Italy settled in the area between Larned and the Detroit River. In 1904, Father Ferdinand Weinmann began to reach out to these immigrants, walking the streets, ringing a bell, and telling gospel stories to the children while taking a census. With the aid of parishioners, he opened a settlement house for the youth who were otherwise prone to join gangs. He provided recreation, a library, religious instruction, and other classes. The Italian immigrants then began to worship at Saints Peter and Paul. Father Weinmann died in 1906, but his work was carried on by mainly female parishioners who began a group called the Weinmann Club, which funded a permanent settlement house at 425 Larned, which is now a parking lot. It served several Italian, Syrian, and Lebanese immigrants. Called the Weinmann Settlement House, it was opened until 1946 by the League of Catholic Women, which is now called Matrix Human Services, and serves more than 20,000 individuals and families each year in more than 30 locations. The need for an Italian-speaking priest became evident, and in 1907, Father Giovanni Bassi arrived from Italy to establish an Italian parish. In 1912, the Church of Holy Family, or Santa Familia, was opened with the help and some funding from Saints Peter and Paul. It is currently located just north of here on the I-375 service drive. Of importance during this time was the work of Josephine Van Dyke Brownson, a parishioner who started the Catholic Instruction League in 1911 in the parish school basement. This provided catechism instruction for children attending public schools. It later expanded under her supervision and became the church-wide Confraternity of Christian Doctrine Program, otherwise known as CCD. Ms. Brownson received a medal from Pope Pius IX in 1933, the Lauterdale Medal from Notre Dame in 1939, and an honorary doctorate from the University of Detroit in 1939. Because of this important work she did for the church. Saints Peter and Paul also served the Maronite or Lebanese community. Many baptisms and weddings were celebrated here in St. Catherine's Chapel until 1916, when St. Marin Maronite Church was built in Detroit on Kercheval. In the 1920s and 30s, the Jesuits grew their mission projects in Detroit, but in doing so, the importance of Saints Peter and Paul declined. It was no longer the focal point of everything Jesuit. Most of the University of Detroit moved to the new McNichols campus in 1924. Jesu Church was established as another Jesuit base of operations. Manresa Retreat House opened, and U of D High School moved to 7 Mile Road. Thus, activities that had drawn people to Saints Peter and Paul were no longer at the Mother Church. However, until the late 1950s, the lecture series given by various Jesuits at Saints Peter and Paul was said to still draw very large crowds. In the 1960s, the downtown area became mainly commercial. The urban renewal and freeway construction, the parish lost its neighborhood and much of its congregation. It was largely sustained by former parishioners from prominent families that had moved away from downtown. In 1971, a decision was made by the Detroit Province of the Society of Jesus to close the parish and convert the church into a law library. At the last Mass, celebrated in September of 71, Pastor Clement Singer announced a last-minute reprieve had been granted. The parish would stay open on a week-to-week basis. Turns out, lay members of the parish had taken the Jesuit province to court and won an out-of-court settlement that kept the parish open, but it was still struggling. That was 51 years ago. In the meantime, former pastor Robert Hartigan began outreach to the poor and homeless in 1988, inviting them in from the cold during the winter months. The church vestibule and side hallway were used for this purpose. Today, new restrooms and shower facilities are located near the parish social hall, the Father Lovely Room, for the Pope Francis Center, which includes updated kitchen facilities and new laundry and storage rooms. Most recently, on the feast day of Saints Peter and Paul in 2015, the Homeless Jesus sculpture by Timothy Schmalz, graciously donated by an anonymous patron, was installed on Jefferson Avenue. Our parish today is a vibrant, growing community that is open and welcoming, much like our earlier years. However, now we see many young adults and individuals that have been otherwise turned off or turned away from other churches for various reasons. Our parishioner base has doubled in the past decade and is seeing increased membership of about one new registration per week. We are looking to add children's programming in the coming year to accommodate the many young families and growing children. Next year, we will celebrate our 175th anniversary and possibly our 7,000th wedding. As the oldest church building in the city of Detroit, we are proud to be the home of the Pope Francis Center, the mother house of all Jesuit ministry in the city, and in support of the revival of the city of Detroit. As always, thank you for listening. To learn more about the community at Saints Peter and Paul Jesuit, check out our website, sspjesuit.org, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Links for all three can be found in the show notes. Until next time, be well and God bless.